Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is episode 23 of the Union 0430. As you can see, Ryan's not with us tonight. Tomorrow's opener down in Nova Scotia, so he's out scouting. Not sure what the fuck he's scouting right now because it's pitch black down there, but nonetheless, he's out scouting and he's not able to make it tonight, so you got us four beauties to keep you entertained. As always, Dave is up in Kincardine. Merck is in the nation's capital, or just outside the nation's capital, I should say. And that beautiful, beautiful man, Phil, is just down in Oshawa, down in the dirty schwa. Boys.
The provincial capital.
The provincial capital?
Toronto.
T-Dot. Yeah. Well, okay. Just outside. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Guilty by association.
Yeah. Boys. We had opening weekend just a few days ago. I think as a whole, the crew of the Union had a wonderful opening weekend. And I want to touch in on some COVID stuff. I want to touch in on an always polarizing topic, which is bans and who claims bans, who gets bans, who gets to keep them. And will people actually lose friendships over this piece of fucking metal? Either way, it should be a fun topic. So opening weekend, I wanted to start with Philly because you traveled down to southwestern Ontario and hooked up with some good buddies and had your hunt. So tell us about your opener on Saturday, bud.
So it was myself, Jordan Stone, and the infamous Marco Acuna. And I've actually never done aside from Punisher Camp last year, I have never hunted a field shoot with Marco.
Okay.
So the three of us, we were out scouting. All three of us had fields lined up, and it's just like, okay, you know, what do we pick, right? So we opted to, just because of time restraints and stuff, we opted to shoot property that Marco had.
Yeah.
And I think he was sitting on, I don't know, a couple hundred geese or whatever, and I believe it was a silage field that was cut. And okay. It was a good, I guess like a matted down path. Like it looked like it was just, they just drove over the corn stalks. So it was perfect for the layouts. And we had all the, you know, 10 or 12 dozen full bodies, whole pile of silhouettes and stuff. That wasn't a jab, Mark. it was beautiful, beautiful setting up. We could see for miles, like setting up. And then sure enough, like come 7 o'clock or so, fog rolls in. There's no wind. Oh, we lost Marcus.
Yeah, I don't think he got your silhouette joke because he's since like, you started talking.
He's like, fuck you, I'm out.
But yeah, so crazy fog. And then we could hear the birds started coming, but like they couldn't see us from a hole in the ground. And first flock that comes in, we're coming. I was shooting center. Marco was to my left, Jordan to my right, and beautiful flock come right in, and they're skating off to the left a little bit. Marco calls the shot. We jump up, and I think Jordan and I doubled on the first bird, and I shot second bird, and Marco ended up getting two off the side. Well, lo and behold, Marco sends out Oakley to go pick up, you know, the first bird comes back and it had that blue plastic farm band on it. So yeah, again, like we weren't sure who shot it. It was either pretty confident either I shot it or Jordan and I tag teamed the bird. Whatever. Still, it was, you know, beyond cool for the three of us because we'd never seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the fog kept in and it thinned out a little bit. We picked away. I think we ended up with 11 geese. And Jordan made a beauty shot on a hen mallard that just came whipping through. And
yeah,
like between the no wind and the fog, like she was a hard go. Like there was tons of birds. They were there, but couldn't see the spread because the fog and stuff. So,
right.
Does Marco, sorry.
No, go for it, Dave.
Didn't Marco shoot a farmed goose last year too? I remember him posting something. It looked like a hybrid and he was trying to get information on it. And then someone's like, oh, that's a farmed goose or something.
Someone's pet.
Yeah. That's 2 years in a row.
So what's the deal with this blue band? So like,
So I guess, like, I know nothing about these. Like, literally, I got fully educated Saturday morning because Jordan actually does banding. Like, he's done a few, like, been helped out and whatever in a few band projects in his neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And I guess you can buy these plastic bands from, like, Tractor Supply Co.
Okay.
So it very much could have been some farm. Like, this is the hypothesis that he came up with. Like, probably a local bird.
Yeah.
And probably was in a farmer's pond or something. And, you know, they got a hold of a couple of them and strapped these bands on. Well, the bands have zero identifiers.
Okay.
There's no engraving. There's no mark, like, no nothing. It's just literally a blue plastic band.
You know what we should do? We should, at the end of the season, get our own bands made and just go start kidnapping geese and putting our fucking bands on them with, like, haha, loser, thought you were going to get a cool band, but it's just this, fuck you, or something like that. Just screw it, fellas, and just, you know, you see, and make them, like, some ridiculous color, too, so that you can see them a mile away when the feet come down and you got fellas fighting over them and the whole bit. Blue? No. Orange. Yeah, blaze orange.
Apparently, like, banding your own birds, like what this guy did, is like a big no-no.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently, yeah. According to Jordan, like, he said, he's done the banding stuff. And
yeah. Mark Vitch has done a lot of banding up in Ottawa Valley, too. I know he's done a couple years he's done it. Maybe he done more, but he would know. Like, I know he says whatever they catch, they ban. So, like,
further to that,
yeah,
I was driving. Okay, today's Wednesday, so Monday, I was in an undisclosed location.
Yep, of course.
And four big white chickens.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Four snooze.
Wow.
And they were there again yesterday too.
You better take control of that before somebody else does.
This field that I saw them in, they were in the same field again yesterday, according to my buddy. And I will not release his info, because then it would be kind of obvious where these birds are located.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, it's a small field, like.
Really, eh?
I think they're, like, unless you might be able to traffic them, or I don't know, but.
I don't know. Oh, well.
Did you guys see Rusty's video last night?
No.
The
Jack Miner, he was there.
Oh, like, when they were banding? Yeah, I did see that.
That was kind of neat to watch. And
that young fella was, like, just balls of steel. Just had all of that, the wings on that goose, and it was just like, I ain't letting go, bud. So it's just well for you to calm down and let this happen, because
take it like a champ.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Then you get the leg iron on you, then you can go.
Yeah. Dave,
No, go ahead.
No, you'd go.
I was just gonna say, like, three quarters of the world's afraid of those fucking birds. This champ kid just, yeah, whatever.
Oh, it's awesome, man. Well, and then, like, just looking at the goose too, like, the goose just gave up and just allowed it to happen, you know what I mean? Just like, yeah, I'm not gonna fight anymore, fuck this. This kid's got the death grip on me, got the bulk of death grip put on me. I'm not letting go.
My left hand.
Jeez.
Did you ever see that movie Spaceballs?
30 years ago.
I watch it at least every 3-4 months just so I can keep things in my mind, because it's one of the greatest movies ever made. Mel Brooks is a genius. God bless him. Dave, how was your opening morning, buddy? Do you want to tell our listeners your goal this year? And it's a pretty cool goal, considering what most waterfowlers have for goals in their season. You want to let everybody know?
Yeah, so my goal this year was to take 10 either new young hunters, or even just 10 people who've never shot a duck before, and get them their first duck. So far, I'm at number 4. I got number 5, 6, and 7 lined up, so I'm almost there. I teamed up with Jordan LeMay, JNR Game Calls, and he's got well, he's they're not they just showed up, but a duck call for every single one of them.
Wow. So
each of them get their first duck call. So that was kind of neat. And yeah, hopefully it works out. And so far, like opening morning, I took my son and his buddy and the farmer, the guy that owns the property, I took his kid out too.
Yeah.
And his kid was old enough to have his own stuff.
Yeah.
We went out there and my son's friend got his first bird and the farmer's kid got his first duck ever. First time he ever had a license. He's 21 now. First time he's ever had a duck license. And yeah, it was kind of neat. I went out the next day and I couldn't hit a duck for the life of me.
Really?
So, yeah, it's kind of, here I am teaching these kids how to shoot their birds.
Teaching them what not to do.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's probably a good thing to know that, hey, listen, no matter how experienced you are, there's going to be those days. And it's a good example to show for the kids, right? Because God knows they watch most of these YouTube videos, and it's just birds falling out of the sky, and fellas never missing a shot. It's good for them to see that. Hey, listen, these things fucking fly fast. You know, like talk about diver hunting. That's like, if you want to see a grown man want to just take his shotgun and wrap it around a tree. Take them diver hunting, because that's where you see fellas missing shots.
Or they just don't die.
Yeah.
Kobe's buddy.
Yeah.
His teals came in, the blue wing teal came in.
Yeah.
He shot it about 2 feet off the water and it landed. But when it landed, its neck kind of landed back on its body like this.
This is thinking the head was up.
So he thought the bird was still alive. And I told the kids, like, shoot, and then if it's still alive, take another shot to make sure it's dispatched, right?
Yeah.
But I meant in the air. Well, this thing lands like that, and then I'm looking, and he shoots it, and I'm watching the adult, at the same time, and then all of a sudden I hear bang, and he shot the bird on the water. So I was like, oh, well, he's like, you told me to make sure it was dispatched.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, good on you. You listened.
Yeah. Hey. You gotta fucking dumb it down, man. You can't.
It was funny you say that. So, during Punisher Camp last year, it was the first morning that we hunted.
Yeah.
We were way out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're out in Little Rice.
No, we were past Rice.
Oh, were you?
We had like Potahawk or whatever.
Oh,
so
did you guys?
We were like, we parked the boats. We were just standing in the water, and yeah. Birds were doing it, and we were shooting them, and of course. They're hitting the water. They're swimming this and that. Well, I think it was Sagu and might have been, was it Dan Roche?
Dan Roche, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So they shoot, I think it was like a hen Buffy. They tag teamed it.
Yeah.
Well, it's coming down. Well, I put another round into it about 6 inches off the water. I'm like, some of these guys have never diver hunted, right? So I told the guys, like, this is how you kill a diver. It's one to drop it. And then two more to kill it.
Yeah.
Well, this poor hen Buffy, like, they hit her in the air. She comes down 6 inches off the water, and I laced it. And they're like, what was that for? Wasn't dead.
Wasn't dead. That's right.
Wasn't dead.
We went out the weekend, and remember last week we were talking about how fellas will put up pictures that are not really tasteful after you've killed a bird or whatever, and you try and hide it as best you can. So the same thing happened to me. Shot a bird, didn't totally kill it, shot it again, but I hit it in the back. It wasn't nice. So safe to say that one didn't show up on any pictures whatsoever. But
there's only 11 in the photo.
Oh no, Mark strategically placed them so that we got all 12 of them in. Yeah, but we had a fabulous morning. Mark and I don't know. We were up at 4. Left the house at 4:30, at the boat ramp probably by 5:30, up up at our location, and then we started grassing in the blind. So where we were is a lot of cattails. So that was going to be our backdrop, was cattails. So we just totally done the beaver tail blind in cattails. And so by the time we got decoys set and lucky, there wasn't a whole lot of wind for us either. So we got lucky set, got our decoys set, and then we literally sat down, and it was madness right before the witching hour, like of all the birds that were around. And so I think we were legally allowed to start shooting 6:31, 7:01, we were done.
We were done.
We had 12 birds. We even stuck around. Like, we stuck around. We were like, fuck, man. Like, we can't pack up yet. There were still so many birds working. And then we just started taking video. And the teal, like, just rockets. And just coming around this corner and just, it was unbelievable. But I tell you what, we seen lots of mallards, but nothing really working. Like, mallards just didn't seem to want to do it, but... the blue wings and we got some green wings too, but the blue wings totally did it for us, like big time. They totally worked it.
I think like the teal are pretty prominent. Like I know where you guys were.
Yeah.
I know like the teal are very prominent at that location.
Yeah. Well,
they ban there as well. Like my buddy and I, we hunted that lake.
I may have gotten a ban.
My buddy and I, we hunted that same location a number of years ago on opener.
Yeah.
Because he was living out towards your way there.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure enough, we hunt opening morning. We didn't smash flame. We got a handful of ducks. But yeah, he got a banded blue wing.
Yeah.
The band was still shiny.
Yeah. So the like, same thing. Like we were going around picking up birds and we were picking up the birds and this one was down at the end there where the motor was, right? So I reached down to get it and same thing, the band was so shiny, but as I'm reaching for it, the boat is like creating a wake, right? So the bird flips over. So I don't know for sure if I sees a band, but I'm like grabbing for it as fast as I can, right? And I just like, hey, Merk. And he was like, well, there's no dispute, and you shot that one because it's on your side of the boat. So
it was like the bird that my buddy shot, like it was banded like weeks prior.
Oh no, mine was banded last year.
The information hadn't even been uploaded to the website yet. That's how new it was. But still, it was his first ever ban, which was cool.
You guys have talked about not saying your location and all that stuff. I was hunting with a good buddy of mine here, Dave, and we're sitting there, and I get this text message like first thing in the morning, hey, you guys out? And I'm like, yep, where are you? Oh, secret farm pond. Oh, okay. A minute later, Dave's getting the same messages from the same kid. Hey, where are you guys go?
Yeah,
he said we were in a farm pond as well, but not with each other, right? It's kind of funny.
That's funny. Yeah, like I'm not. I don't know. Like when it comes to, you know, fellas. Oh, come on, man. Where were you or whatever? You know, I look at it like this. And not to sound like a pompous ass or anything, but I put the work in to go on the look for them. I'm taking my time to drive around and you know, put in a little bit of work. I'm not fucking telling you where I went to go get my birds. And Mark and I got into some pinnies. So I shot my first drake pintail on Sunday. And I am not telling anybody where they were. And they worked so fucking nice. Three birds came in. We're like, oh, here's three. They're working. They come in. We went up. Two shots, three birds down. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. And that was totally Merck that made that shot for the two. But
nice.
So here we go. So Ryan and some homeless guy.
What's happening?
Hey. How'd the scouting go, boys?
Yeah, how'd the scouting go?
Boys.
Boys.
Successful. Boys. As always.
As Matty Kazera, welcome.
What's happening, bud?
This is it. So, boys, so Dave, Phil, that you don't know, Ryan's best friend, Matt Kazera, he's all right. He's okay. Yeah.
I've seen him put up some half-decent photos on the gram.
Oh, yeah. He did. And his choice of scotch is remarkable.
It is true.
Yeah.
Let's give a tour of the liquor cabinet right now here.
Oh, yeah.
We got here.
He's a little short, too.
Yeah, it's a little – he's COVID ready for the apocalypse.
He's
full there. But, yeah, we're good to go.
Good. You got to go. You're all set up for tomorrow morning. Is Liam going witches tomorrow?
No, it's just me, Maddie, and the old man. He's going to tag in with us. So.
Dougie's
going to dust it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll probably shoot his two birds and be like, I'm good. You guys go ahead.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. Or, yeah. You guys just keep shooting. I'll just sit here and watch.
You guys go ahead.
That's right. So,
awesome. Awesome. So we're just talking about our opening days. Vitch got kicked off; his internet went down, so he's on the phone with Bell right now. So I'm guessing that's probably not a good conversation for the unlucky person that picks up the phone.
I would not want to be that Bell service representative right now.
Two
reasons. One, Mark gets upset, and two, when he gets really upset, his Newfoundlandese really comes out and you can't understand what he's saying. So
you know what I realize, and I can really, really get into this now because he's not here. You know, and Ryan, you know, Dave and Phil, you guys may not be aware of this, but Mark is severely OCD. Like it is fucking maddening. Obvious. Sometimes, right? Like he'll get in your truck, like if he drives your truck, like he'll get in your truck and he pushes all the buttons and switches everything up so it's like perfect for him, you know what I mean? And
yes. Yes.
And
so I have a quick story about Mark. So Matt's gotta take his back pill. So when I was building a deck when I lived in Pembroke, Mark and his lead spouse, Josette, came over and helped me. And so I kind of walked through the plans. This is what I wanted. It came time to build the privacy wall. And what I wanted was boards that ran vertical, up and down. And Mark was dead set on like, no, bye. You should go horizontal. And to the point where he was like, listen, it's going to look way better. You want to go horizontal. And Josette had to step in and be like, Mark, you're not paying for this deck. Like, let him, if he wants horizontal boards or vertical boards, let him use vertical boards. So, yeah, he's OCD for sure, but his heart's always in the right place. That's
absolutely.
Did you go with the horizontal or the vertical?
I sold the house. It doesn't matter.
which brings me to my point here, and the reason why this is so important to me. Listen, we had a smasher of an opening morning. Knocked down 12 birds in 30 minutes. Just awesome. But before legal shooting, I got a Jesus, Damien, buddy, you done a good job on camming up your side of the boat. I did. I got that. Then we got home and we were having breakfast and I made him an omelet and he's sitting down and he's eating his omelet. He said, boy, this is a good fucking omelet, buddy. And I said, well, you know what? I'm a win for this weekend now. I didn't give a fuck if I shoot another bird. I got two good jobs from Mark Bitch.
Either you're doing something really right or Mark is dying of a terminal illness.
He said, he even said to me, man, he was like, Jesus, this is a good job on your cam job. Cause he took care of the bow of the boat. And I was back. Oh fuck. I was back on the stern.
Yeah. So we got to have Matt on a podcast at some point. Cause he's heavily invested into the firearms fight. for all, not just sporting shooters, hunters, you know, at all facets. Recently, what's the position you just took on with just the
field officer?
Field officer.
CCFR, yeah.
Yeah, for the CCFR.
On the East Coast, right?
So, you know, So, one of the many people who's doing a lot of good work for on behalf of, like, people like us, waterfowlers and whatnot, and hunters in general, and just sporting shooters. So, we'll definitely have to have him on. And
Matty, I got a real good question. I got a question, and I don't really want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to fucking do it anyways, because you're in Nova Scotia, and I'm in Ontario, sure. And you can't beat me up.
what's your thoughts on that Punisher Waterfowl Ban Idiot shirt?
That's the Ban Idiot's Not Gun? Man, yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. No, I think it's great. It's a bold statement. It's not everybody's going to like it, but I like bold. So
you should see how Maddie. Many ideas got turned down before
that one. No, Matty, honestly, my question to you right now is that you guys are trying your best to make sure that all firearms owners, regardless of what sport they're into, are not a bunch of savages, responsible, pillars of the community, good people, yeah. not this.
Neighbor.
That's right. But yet, you see on so many forums, so many chat groups, so much, and there's just these people that are spewing just hatred and cursing and swearing and yelling and not yeah. able to get. Listen, like, I know it's hard and you can't keep. Listen, I know you guys don't speak for everybody and you're trying to do your bit, but what is the message you guys are putting out there to the people that are just as passionate about firearms rights as what you are? But are you guys sending out any message whatsoever and say, listen, we're not doing ourselves any favors by yelling and screaming and cursing and swearing?
Well, that's the thing. Like, the CCFR has a very straightforward message, right? And it's one of the things that drew me to the CCFR is that they're not putting out offensive material. They're trying to appeal to everyday Canadians. And when you look at the messaging, if you watch a new episode, I think it airs tomorrow, Canada Gun Ban Explained or something along that lines. It's going to be airing on YouTube, I think tomorrow on Wild TV as well.
Okay.
They're trying their best. They have a whole bunch of ads right now on national newspapers and radio. They're trying to get the ear of the people who, because right now we preach to the choir. I mean, if I go online right now and I put a post on about firearms, I'm going to get the people who have firearms are going to interact with that post.
That's right.
I might get one guy, you know, two guys that just grind my gears. I keep them guys around, you know, because you got to have people that challenge you in life. You can't just preach to the choir absolutely. All the time, right?
Absolutely.
But listen, man, it's in our own community. There was a post on Nova Scotia Hunting Forums yesterday. A fellow put his Typhoon 12 gauge, if you're familiar with the Typhoon at all.
Yeah.
It looks like an AR, but it's not an AR. Nothing's compatible other than the AR furniture. But you cannot, you know, itself is a shotgun. Okay.
Yeah.
There's probably maybe 1,000 comments now at this point. And I would say a good 70% of those are people like, why do you need that? Mm-hmm. And these are hunters, man. Like, these guys are tearing this fella up because he bought a patriotic 12 gauge shotgun. So, I mean, I feel like there's so much more work to do within our own community.
You're 100%
you know what I mean? So, I mean, we just got to keep plugging away. We got to stay positive, and we can't, you know, change is coming. And it's going to be good. We just have to be optimistic. We have to, you know, your neighbor, you're at church or something, talk to somebody, you know, get refer them to the YouTube channel. There's so much positive material and it's so well documented and anybody could look at it and understand what the message is. It's very simple and they're not spewing hate towards politicians or anything like that.
they're stating facts.
Yeah.
And facts speak for themselves. There's evidence on our side. There's almost zero evidence on their side.
Absolutely. But I think, and this is, I'm not as invested into it as you are, Matty. And it's not because I don't want to be. It's just I'm strictly a hunter. I'm not a sports shooter. You're a sports shooter. You're a hunter. You do it all, right? So you're a little bit more invested into it than I am. But this whole, and you hit the nail, like, we're not doing ourselves any favors. And it seems like that's becoming a reoccurring theme on this show. As hunters, like, we're eating our own, and as firearms owners, we're eating our own.
Right. And you see that anywhere. I mean, you post a picture on Facebook, hey, look at my new deer rifle. And you'll probably have 2 out of 10 guys or 3 out of 10 guys be like, I would never use that. Why would you buy that? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be way more supportive in our own community. And, you know, just because you don't like it doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
That's right.
I mean, it's – and then the beauty part about that, there's a firearm out there for everybody. You know, who cares what color it is or what size it is or – you know, like, just as long as it can, it's you're using the right tool for the job you're trying to do. You know, it doesn't really matter what it looks like. So
Pat uses a pink shotgun. There's no judgment here. He can't tell the difference.
There's judgment here.
Yeah. Ryan can't tell the difference if he's shooting a pink shotgun, anyways.
Look at when the whole gun ban thing first came out a while ago, a lot of people went to Ducks Unlimited, and there was that whole big stink about DU.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not jumping on board. Well, it's called Ducks Unlimited, not fucking Guns Unlimited.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people, they couldn't get that through their thick fucking skull that Ducks Unlimited.
Conservation.
They're for conservation, the preservation of wetlands, preservation of waterfowl. They do it for the birds. They don't do it for the fucking hunters. But I get, like, you know, 90% of the supporters are guys like us.
Hunters,
but they lose the scope of it's DU, not GU.
Actually, Philly, I got to disagree with you there, buddy. I would say that hunters, albeit a very, very important part of DU, I would say that 80% of revenue and money raised by DU are from non-hunters. If I was to take a bet.
Well, you look at our Valley Dinner, Damon, I'm going to cut you off, but our Valley Dinner, you'll be hard-pressed to find more than a dozen hunters.
Yeah.
And it's all car dealerships and banks and, you know, mm-hmm. And really, we need them too. I mean, because
absolutely we do.
I don't have enough money to save every, you know, wetland out there. So we need these guys. Yeah. But at the same time, there needs to be a balance, and Ducks doesn't want to rock the boat. They don't want to, you know, upset the people who are giving them big checks because a lot of those guys don't want to hunt. So you don't want to upset those guys, right? So, you know, I did have a great conversation with Ducks in my group over that. I'm not super happy with the result, you know, but it is what it is, and I understand the politics, and that's what it comes down to. In the politics, I mean, Delta is a whole different kettle of fish. You know, Delta's more, well, it's for the hunter. Mm-hmm. You know, 100%.
I always say DU protects the wetlands, and Delta puts the hunters in the blind. That's the way I always look at it.
There you go. That's a great way to put it, man.
Merck, what happened, buddy? Tell me that somebody in Bell went to the fucking corner and is crying right now after you.
They're filling out paperwork for unemployment.
Bell was fortunate enough to not talk to me on the phone.
Oh.
They put me on hold for 10 minutes, and then the internet came back. They knew I was coming.
They knew it was coming. He's a cooking something up.
Hey, Kazera, you speak pretty eloquently for someone who lives up on the mountain, eh?
And here it comes. And here it comes.
Coming from Newfoundland version of Chuck Norris.
See you too, buddy.
For all the people that are listening to the podcast, they're now giving them each other the finger.
Just yeah.
They can't see everything, guys. Come on.
Yeah, they can't see everything. So, Mark, I was telling before Ryan and Maddie came on, was talking about our opening morning and was talking about that beauty shot there with those three pennies. And I didn't talk about our location because that our location is a secret now. That
you never talk about location. You don't post your location on Facebook, right?
Hey, Philly, don't talk about location, right?
Get the fuck out of Bellows.
Get the fuck out of Bellows. Yeah. So Mark, I wanted to, and you sort of fell off the internet on the interweb there just as I was getting ready to talk about it. But I introduced you to some new ammo this weekend. So Ryan, I told the boys about it already, but you haven't heard it. So Mark shows up to the house Friday and we're doing our thing and we're getting ready. And he says, hey, do you... you got some ammo for me to try? And I was like, yep. I said, I got some Challenger ammo over right there. So he goes over to the case and he said, this all you got? And I was like, well, yeah. He's like, number four. I said, yep. I said, I'm shooting number four on ducks this year. And he was like, I'll try it, but I'm going to bring a box of number two just in case. I was like, whatever, man. I said, fucking do whatever you want. I said, but I'm shooting number four. And what do you think? What do you think, Mark? How did the old number four work out for you this weekend?
They were good inside 30 yards. It's a good thing all our shots were inside 30 yards.
Fuck yeah. Well, you got the birds to work for you the way you want them to. No need going out any further than that.
Shut up and take it. Just shut up and take the call.
That was common.
Yeah.
See what number four
Challenger
is.
Makes a number two. You know that.
When you were still cursing at the good. When you were still cursing at the good people at Bell there, Mark, Damien was talking about the compliment you threw his way, reference A, your cam job, and B, possibly the greatest omelet he's ever made in his life. So,
hey, and I never even liked eggs until a year ago.
Yeah, he did. He made a pretty sweet omelet.
That's true. That's why me and Mark always hung out with you, because at breakfast time, we got the extra eggs.
Morning one. I tell Damien, I said, make a friggin' omelet for us. All the boys blocked out.
They're gone. They're up on the fucking mountain. That's why.
Yeah, I know. Boys, connect the string back to the can.
So your 2 megabits per second download speed isn't enough, man.
So on the first morning, we have an omelet. And I said to Damien, yeah, throw my 3 eggs in the omelet. And Damien made a 5-egg omelet, and I was like, okay, that's good enough for two people to split. And it was a pretty good meal. So the next morning, Trish joins us for a meal, and Damien's making another omelet. He makes a 5-egg omelet.
Yeah, like, but I added way more shit to the second one. Were you still hungry?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Oh, yeah, omelet. Yeah, tis no man.
Tis the remorse machine.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we've Dave. I wanted to talk. Yeah, Dave. Hey, Soph. Was she going out in the morning?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. What about Scout Ryan?
Oh, she always comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Oh, Matt's gonna go pick her up. She's here too. Probably going to try to bite Matt. That's the way I've trained her, so.
Yeah, you just trained her to drink my beer.
Yeah.
There she is.
Oh, look at that. Just cute as awesome. Pie.
Yeah, not brown.
The dog's cute, too.
Brown.
Yeah. Not brown, no. Yeah. Dave, I wanted you to, because you're rocking that wine-colored Punisher hoodie, I wanted you to... Magenta. Oh. I wanted you to talk about...
A room.
That hoodie and what's coming up in the probably a little bit later in the fall we'll do it again. So could you talk about the hoodie you're wearing and what it's all about and our plans for next year?
So last year we did a trial run with Tanner Charette from He's here in Kincardine. And what we did was we put we let him design this hoodie. Like, he picked putting Team Punisher down the arm, and we did everything that he wanted, and he made the shirt, and then, or the sweater, and then all profits from the sale of this sweater went to him for his school. He's a college student taking, I can't even remember the name.
Fish and Wildlife or something
fish,
like that.
Yeah, Fish and Wildlife, something like that. And just something to help out, help someone, because we truly do share bird hunting here. So we tried to help. So we tried to help a kid out, and he ended up, I think we gave him $200, something like that.
Yeah.
Hey, don't make nice. That face. And so he got $200. So we're going to try and run it again this year, but we're going to have to take applications to pick someone else. So we'll make that post coming up here and try and help them out.
So the moral of this is that this year was our first year doing this, and it didn't get the social media love that we would have liked for it to have had, and we were only able to give Tanner $200. So this year, I'm hoping that a ton of people are going to buy. And listen, this is no money in Dave's and my pocket. This every cent of profit will go to the student. I can promise you that. For anybody that's listening, and if you have a college student or whatever, listen, let them know. Let's do this. Let's blow it up. Hopefully, there's enough for a couple cases of shells and a box of beer for a Friday night at the residence and all that good stuff. So, watch out on social media for it. Go for it, Dave.
We actually planned to run it sooner, but with COVID, we weren't sure what was going to go on. We also weren't sure, like my niece is in school right now, and we weren't even sure if they were going to go to residence or do online or
right
if school was happening or what was going on. So that's why we kind of delayed it until coming up here. We'll take applications again. That's why we delayed it.
Nice little segue into the whole COVID topic, because it's something that I wanted to touch on, because we're starting to see a little bit more of cases in this dreaded second wave that people are talking about. But I really want to talk about, has it affected your hunting or your plans for hunting this year? And then, you know, your personal thoughts, because I'd love to be able to hear what your personal thoughts are. And Mark's got his hand up. He wants to talk. Here we go.
I'm supposed to be joining those two ugly fuckers right there this fall, and it's not going to happen.
Ugly?
That was for you.
Well, Phil and I were supposed to be going to Missouri in January, and I can't go.
It's pronounced Missouri.
Oh.
Don't worry, Mark. I'll send you some tea, buddy. If that's all you wanted to come down for was a tea, right?
Yep, that's right.
Mark's just into the tea. That's all he ever does when he comes here.
Yeah.
Just drinks tea. But no, like seriously though, Mark, like you're losing out on a chance, because you usually go down every year. It's either Christmas or in the fall, right?
Usually, I get down somewhere down that direction. And obviously, we can blame it on the Atlantic bubble right now. They are separate from the rest of Canada. I checked in with my boss at work, and I'm free to travel anywhere in Canada as long as I follow local rules. Yeah. And I can't go down past the Quebec border.
That's right.
Not without isolating for 2 weeks, which...
Upon your return, right? Yeah.
No, to go down there.
Right, 2 weeks in the Atlantic bubble, right? You got to isolate for 2 weeks down there. Right?
So I can go down and hunt on my own.
That's not fun.
I just need someone to scout for me.
And Philly, like, how about your, like, I know you as being somewhat of a part-time guide, like you've got your own guide business and stuff. How is COVID affecting that? Like, totally shut down 100%, right? You're not taking any customers this year?
No paying customers this year. It's funny, like, here I don't know what it was, but I was actually going to expand operations a little bit. Was looking at getting a full decoy trailer and getting a shit pile of full bodies and whatnot, and obviously have that stuff, have the full bodies and the gear shipped to, you know, probably New York State, and then go over, pick it up, and bring it back. Well,
yeah,
obviously that's all.
You're not talking about circumventing. No, of course not. I wouldn't think so.
Saving on shipping,
that's right. Well, no, and it's a good point because, you know, crossing that imaginary line is crazy.
We get hosed on a regular day. Anyway, so I was going to go down, like, order a whole pile. I already had, you know, an address set up. You know, buddy was going to let me use his garage, ship all this stuff there. Sure enough, this nonsense happened. So I'm like, all right, well, pump the brakes. Well, I can't go regardless. So whatever. And then just as a result of, you know, the current state of affairs, I've basically, you know, paused my regular guiding business. Like, obviously, I more catered to water hunts, shooting divers and whatnot. So I just pump the brakes. Like, you know, I just do this for fun. You know, it's not a, don't do it for money by any means. And so this fall, I got the new dog, picked up my new puppy today. Well, he's not puppies. He's been at the trainer since April. So I got him today, and just, I'm going to spend my season focusing on him, training hard. Obviously, like, as you guys know, I'm getting more into the photography aspect of things. So running the camera and shit. And it's just going to be friends and family hunts for this season. Like, yesterday I took a young fella out. He's a Fleming student. He's just a young guy. He's like, we've been talking since last year. I keep saying, like, yeah, you know, I want to get you out. And we were talking on the weekend. So I brought him out yesterday morning and Tony Cooper for a field shoot for geese. And this young fella, he's like, yeah, I've shot 2 geese in my life. And, well, we'll fucking change that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, the first volley that comes in, he shoots a fucking double. This kid, nice. He fucking came unglued. Like, oh, just shaking like a fucking twig in a fucking hailstorm, right? Like, and just looking over and seeing, like, he's just young, he's 20, 21 years old. And just, you know, seeing how excited he got about shooting that double, I'm like, and this is why we do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking these young fellas out and, like, just full of questions. And, you know, I answer them the best I could, trying to help them out and teach them some stuff. And, like, was just an hour later, he sends me a text. He's like, dude, like, I can't thank you enough. Like, you know, I hope we can get out again. I'm like, yeah, like, they're just birds, man. It's the start of the season. There is a shit ton of geese where I am. We'll get you back. Yeah, we'll fucking kill a pile more. Like, you know, I do this on the regular, but, like, you know, seeing that young guy, you know, he's just getting into waterfowl. He's got a nice little boat. He's got a mud motor and what. And I actually sat down with him on a map and showed him a few spots that would, you know, he would benefit from locally for the rig that he's got. I'm like, you know, you should try here. He's asking me about grassing blinds. I'm like, well, I got this guy Mark, he'd be the man to talk to.
Damien does a pretty good job too now.
Oh, I've heard. You're an apprentice. Oh,
every blind finds a nut once in a while, Pittman.
Dave, what about yourself? Because I know your wife and your family, you know, you guys are really, really careful with the whole COVID thing, and just because of your family and an aging family and stuff like that. What about yourself with regards to this whole COVID thing? Has it really affected you with regards to your hunting at all?
We're kind of lucky up here where I am. Like, you guys, you're in Kingston and Phil's in Toronto, right? Like, we've had very few cases in comparison.
Right.
So it hasn't totally affected me as much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working from home. I'm taking my son out, and I go out with a couple of good buddies, and that's about it. Hasn't affected anything there. the biggest thing that COVID's affected is shipping our product. And getting our product made. Like, factories will close down because they have an outbreak, and then a month later, all of a sudden, all the orders will go out. But then,
right,
the mail will be slower or whatever. That's the biggest difference I've had.
Or it's coming from Latvia.
Hey, I just want to point out, I looked into that, and someone didn't click USA only. So, yeah.
Why would I click USA? I live in Canada.
Not you. The guy that said, ooh, Damien.
Oh.
When he made that hat. There's actually a little box at the bottom, and you can click, like, USA, Latvia, China, like, all these different, like, where do you want to have it made? I don't know. I just found it, too. So.
It's all good. All good. Ryan, COVID. Let's hear it, because I know you're fucking just seething there listening to us talk about this.
Bullshit.
Internal, like with the Atlantic bubble, zero impact, obviously, because we've isolated essentially the rest of the world. So we're surviving on beer and stale corn. But it sucks for like the trip that Mark has always made. Like, I've always hunted with Mark in the valley for the last, whether we both lived in Ontario or me living here, we've hunted together here for, God, I don't know how many consecutive years. So that's not going to happen this year, unfortunately. Obviously, about a week from now, I would be boarding a plane heading to Saskatchewan, normally, to guide. And obviously, Claudio's not going to run his thing this year because it just doesn't
happen. Because
the vast majority of our clientele is from the U.S., and we know what's going on with the border. So that's basically the impact relative to waterfowl for me. But as far as day in day out hunting, it doesn't make a difference. I know, like, on social media, because a lot of U.S. guys can't come up and hunt and freelance this year. The impact it's having is it's ultra competitive in the northern states for those mole migrators when they cross the border. It's just there's a firing line of hunters waiting for them. I was talking to Daryl the other day, and he's like, I can throw a rock in the air and come down and it'll land on five hunts. He's just, there's birds everywhere. Cause nobody's pressuring them. There's just not enough hunts. And I'm sure the farmers are feeling that a little bit because obviously, they tend to lay the crops on the ground there. That's the common practice, and that's money on the field. And so, I mean, that is so, I'm sure they're feeling it out there a little bit different than we are here. But that's pretty much how it's affecting me personally.
There used to be a cartoon that would come on when I was a kid. It would come on Disney, and you would see this duck flying. It'd be a black duck, and he'd be flying, and there'd be a picture saying duck season's open. And then he would, he'd get over a body of water, and he'd pull a tail feather out, and he'd drop it, and it would get down to the lake, and it was just 360 degrees of gunshots being fired into this feather, right? That's what it's like for all our migrators getting across and over the border right now. Phil, I wanted to talk to you, and Ryan's here now, which is really cool too, because now Ryan's got a new dog, but your dog is coming back from the trainer now, Philly. How's Zeus, is it? Zeus is the name?
Yeah, I would name my dogs like badass fucking names, right?
Like Greek gods, eh?
Yeah, I gotta be a Greek god.
Yeah, Spartacus. Thor? When are you gonna fucking Thor's, name a dog?
Thor's Viking.
Thor is a Nordic god.
Yeah.
The son of Odin. Anyways, yeah, so, yeah, today's end of September. I went up to a shaggle.
Yeah.
And hooked up with Brent Samus.
You didn't hear your food, but you be here.
We had people first. I've known Brent a long time. When I started out with Thor as a puppy, and that's how I got to know Brent through the HRC game.
Mm-hmm.
And I since farmed Zeus out back in April to him because Brent's got a very established track record when it comes to the competitive level thing. Like, he's put a grand title on dog, national monster hunter, like this shows accomplishments, right? as opposed to just throwing a name on someone, calling them a pro when they're really not. But, you know, so Brent's got a resume, so I went up today, went up there first thing this morning. We went out and, with a buddy of his, Ron, and we ran some test setups with Zeus. And obviously, not being there for, you know, the last 6 months of this dog's life, like, you know, he's become grown to Brent and Brent handled stuff. So we went out there, Brent ran him the first time just so I could kind of see the nuances of how he was and stuff. And then we changed setups and then I ran him. And the guy's like, yeah, Phil, just go set up the blind stake over there. Well, fuck, don't I go out like 125 yards? And they're like, it's like in the next fucking county. Because they're just running young dogs today just to get through them. So I'm like, ah, fuck, whatever, right? Sure enough, get that dog lined up, send them off. You know, bit of handling and stuff, trying to get used to each other. But, like, just a fucking pistol. Like, yeah. He done well.
I got a just a young fella here that's been training with Bill Kennedy and I last month and stuff. He bought a dog, a very, very high-end dog, bought it off somebody who wanted the dog for a hunting dog but didn't want to put the time and the effort into it. So he got the dog at a really, really good price. And then the dog was 10 months old and he went right back to the drawing board to try and start him right off. So he come training with Bill Kennedy and I, and he took his dog and dropped him off to Brent. So I'm expecting good things from that dog as well. And there's a new litter of dogs just born here Eastern Ontario, so just north of Belleville in the Medoc area, that are going to be promising to be some pretty fabulous hunting dogs as well. Boys, we are at that hour mark. Last week we done our show with Rusty. We ran a little bit long. We all kept our wives up. We all got yelled at. We were all a little inebriated. Yeah, I totally got in trouble. So, you know what? I'm down in the garage, and I'm not leaving the garage until we're done this show 100%. But
nice knowing you, Damien.
Yeah. So for anybody, we're going to cut her off here now and let just so that we don't get in any further trouble because, you know, the season is upon us, and we need to make sure that we keep the better halves nice and happy, and therefore they sign those leave passes and let us hit the marshes on the Saturdays and Sundays and whenever. So we'll do a quick round the table here and shut her down. And as usual, the best conversations is when we're not recording. Mark, anything, buddy?
Well, it was a good half show. and glad you made it there, Matt. It wasn't the introduction I wanted to give you when you did show up, but
I like the emphasis on Matt. That was pretty good. Nice to see you, Matt.
They're muted. Yeah. They can't even respond.
Yeah. They can't.
I can't wait to. I'm disappointed I'm not going to make it down with you fuckers. So, anyways. I mean, even when Ryan doesn't go down, when you were living up here, I used to go down with your dad and hunt, so I could still make it down. Yeah. Anyway, boys, good seeing you. Good chat tonight, boys.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Philly?
What do you think?
If Bird Dog Whiskey is seeking, you know, giving up sponsors, pro staffing, anything, we're
ambassadors. We are ambassadors.
Ambassadors of the Bird Dog Whiskey.
Yes.
I just want to throw that out there.
Good job, Philly, because I'll be sure to tag Bird Dog Whiskey on the social media. So very good job on your part. That's why we keep your...
Can you buy that in Canada?
No, you can't.
No, I didn't think so. I've had it. It's good.
Oh, it's delicious. The peach stuff is the best.
Blackberry.
Okay.
So good.
I got a bottle of the...
there was some peach bird dog floating at fucking duck camp last fall.
There's Punisher Camp. At Punisher Camp. Yes, Punisher it was. Yes. Yes. Yes, it was.
I got a bottle of Devil Dog, the bird dog Devil Dog.
Which one's that? I haven't heard of that one.
It's like cayenne pepper.
Ugh.
Oh. I'm in.
I was like, fuck it. I'm going to get this and I'm going to bring it to duck camp so that we can see each other and try this shit together. But
oh, wow.
Nope,
no.
Not happening.
Logan McNulty went down to Nashville last year and he brought me back a nice little souvenir pack, but that's gone. Ryan, Maddie, you got anything, boys?
Nope.
Let's do this again.
Yeah, do it again. End of our split tomorrow. Duck opens and Goose opens back up tomorrow.
Awesome.
So we're going to get after him in the morning. So
yeah.
Let's see some.
Let's do it. Put on foil.
Let's get some video and let's get some pictures because I know where you're hunting and it just makes for some
fabulous. Oh, buddy, there'll be pictures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll be thinking of you and Mark tomorrow for sure.
Yeah.
Do it for the gram.
Yes. Do it for the gram, yeah.
Always.
I think about you every time I oil up.
Attaboy. Hey, you still owe me a video of you shooting that bottle.
The bottle's probably not it.
Oh, you haven't used it all yet? No, I must say it's only a couple drops. Only a little couple drops.
Right. You don't need a lot, but you gotta go small.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I've been.
Less is more.
That's what I've been saying to the wife for years. Dave, last word to you, buddy.
Yeah, good chat. Nice to meet you, Matt.
Same, buddy.
Yeah, well, maybe see you one day.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Just don't forget, guys. Try and take out someone new this year, someone that hasn't hunted before for ducks. That's our future. And without Ducks Unlimited, make sure to get them going into that. And same with Delta. Let's go.
Yeah, awesome. All good stuff. Another excellent show. I love it when it's just us. Got some really cool guests that have been knocking on the door, waiting to come on. Ryan, you don't know who they are because we were talking about it before you come on. But we've got some real cool guests coming up in the next month or so. Thank you once again for watching, hanging out, listening, downloading, subscribing. Following us on social media. You guys are awesome. You're showing all kinds of love to us. And like I always says, I can't put it to words how much I appreciate it. Surround yourself with good people just like I do. And you will have nothing but successes throughout life. Big love, everybody. Until next week.